Here we are again.
Oh my God.
What?
Something very funny is happening to me right now.
What?
Wait, I'll talk about it on the podcast.
Okay.
Stuff. So, last night, yep. I finished my show, yes. Right, at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and I flicked my phone on. Yep. And, you know, sometimes you might get a few messages,
yeah.
from people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And it's always exciting.
Yeah. What are they going to say?
Sometimes they're like, great show.
Yep.
That was so funny.
Yeah, always, yeah.
It's great.
What else do you get?
No,
because that's all I get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes I get the aircon wasn't turned on in the venue. You know, sometimes you get... Sometimes you get annoying practical things, yes. being like, the chairs were really
uncomfortable. I asked for a Coke Zero. It was clearly a Coke with full sugar. Now I feel crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I'm amped up.
Two stars.
Yeah. No, normally it's just not. If someone's going to message, it's generally a nice thing.
Mm.
But I opened my phone and I had a message.
Okay.
And then it wasn't about my show. I had done the project before my show. And this lady had said, hey, super random thing. I'm just watching you on the project at the moment.
Yes.
And I'm noticing you've got a lump in your neck on your left-hand side that I've never seen before.
Hang on. What? So someone's identified a lump on you.
Yes.
We were talking about Adam's apples last week.
I know we were talking about Adam's apples.
Is this what she's identified? Well,
so my first thought was...
You're like, oh my God.
I think she's seen the Adam's apple.
Because you have Adam's... You're worried about your Adam's apple. You have Adam's apple self-consciousness.
Yeah, I don't like... I think it...
Hey, can I have a look at your Adam's apple? I didn't even look. Yeah.
Does it stick out or is it okay?
It does stick out a bit. But then hang on. Not much though, can I say. You're Adam's apple.
Really?
Is that good for you? Or is that what you're self-conscious about? That it's not...
Well, I don't like any of them. I don't like any Adam's apple.
More pronounced than yours, I would say.
Show me yours. Yours is like... Yours is like a bulge.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this is masculine. Yours is... No offense, but yours is just a bit smooth.
Offense taken, dude. Also, I've got a fucking lump on the side of my neck.
To make the self-consciousness more, but I thought the self-consciousness was that it was too big.
Well,
but it's virtually non-existent. Unless you look up and then, yeah, no, you can see it.
And I guess maybe you can I feel it. Don't you worry.
I think maybe it's more about the feeling than, I think maybe because I'm feeling mine, I have the feeling that mine's more pronounced visually, but it could be similar.
Yeah.
Anyway, so no, she's not talking about this.
Not talking about the Adam's apple. So she said you got a lump on the left side of my neck, and I was like,
that I've never seen. Does she's never seen anyone with this lump, or that she's never seen you with this lump, and she thinks your neck has changed?
Well, potentially, I don't know. That was all the information she gets. So I finished my show, and I was hoping to be like,
yeah, if you want a compliment, then you get
now
like,
I've got like nice medical problems because I don't know if you remember the story. Like, I think it was Delta Goodrum found out she was sick.
I don't think it was Delta.
Oh, maybe but it was someone. There was someone.
I agree. There was someone who was on maybe the glass house.
Yeah, and a doctor or something.
Yeah, said, "Oh, that's a melanoma. You should get that checked out." And then she got it cut off, and it had been cancerous.
Yeah,
and it was like saved her.
So, like, I was like freaking out.
Yeah,
or whatever. Anyways,
you're like, this is how it happens. Well, this is how I get diagnosed.
So I booked into the doctor. Like I've booked in. I've got a.
You have,
and I've been feeling.
Hang on, what? Give me a look at this lump.
So left side, have a look.
Your left side or. So sage left.
Wait, we'll get there, I think.
Okay.
So have a look, right? Do you see anything? Have a feel?
This is on your left side.
My left side.
Well, I don't see anything and I've had a feel, but yeah, did you mean the other?
Well, so I then...
Can I have a look at the other side?
No, wait. Okay, wait. No. I wrote back to her and I said, haha, thanks. Could have been the camera angle. And then...
Already in denial.
She's like, hey...
Could have been the camera angle. What camera angle would make a lump come out of
the
neck?
I don't know. There's a lot of lights in there. And then she's like... I just never know
the camera angles that don't change ever.
And then she said, I've never noticed it before. I just thought I'd let you know. It's always better to be safe than sorry, which I thought was nice.
Can I ask something here about the nature of this woman's profile? Is she wearing a scientific jacket? Does she have glasses on?
Oh, let's
is she
have
like
a look.
45 years old? Does she have like a very normal sounding bio? If this is the kind of vibe of the person, ooh, I start getting worried. But if
her
if
account
it's like a
is
crazy
private.
Cartoon and she looks like 21.
No, she's with what I assume to be her partner.
Okay.
They've got like a selfie together. She's wearing a beanie, both in sunnies.
Okay, and then she's not like young. She looks like she's maybe in her late 30s, early 40s or something. Okay. She's in a beanie, like
she could be a doctor.
There's some stalactites in the background.
Oh,
the man, Yeah, they're like in a cave.
They're in a cave?
They're in a cave.
Oh, yeah, they are. So they
travel. You know, he's wearing kind of sunnies with a...
They're Ray-Ban sunnies.
She could be a professional.
She definitely could be. Anyway, so she... So blah, blah, blah. So then I say, thanks for watching the project, by the way.
She didn't say it was good or bad. She said her only comment is there was a lump on your neck. And you're like, thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks so much for watching.
That's probably the camera angles, support. But I appreciate the compliment.
When I say that, I mean the lights. The lights sometimes move around, you know.
What would that have to do? Why would that create a lump specifically on your neck, though?
I don't know, but, you know, they do crazy. There's so many different things I can do in there. Anyway, so I then put...
You think there's a button up in the control room of like the
it's
neck
like the
lump.
Neck lump. So then I put...
The camera adds 10 pounds to your fucking neck.
To my neck.
Specifically making it look like there's a boil coming out of your neck.
So I, you know, it's promo time. So I, and everyone like posts nice messages they get about their shows and stuff. Yep. So I posted this is screenshotted
comedic opportunity.
Yeah, took her thing off and I was like, yeah, great feedback from the show last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then... heaps of people are like, shit.
Yes.
Like, but laughing and stuff. Anyway, so then I did a quick video. Someone was like, show us the lump.
Yep.
So then I did a quick video of my neck on Instagram being like, what do you, look, there's no lump and I'm feeling it. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And now she's just written back moments ago, as were blowing your nose with a hanky.
Yeah.
She's written back, that's your right side. And I'm like.
Yeah, if she's looking at you, yeah.
She's just looking at me the wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm on the wrong side here.
Well, yeah.
She means my right side. But she doesn't understand that it's flipped.
She doesn't understand you're you.
Yeah, exactly.
She's from her perspective, it's the... If she's facing you, which she was when she was looking at you.
Yeah.
No matter the angles.
So then it's her left.
So it's her left, yes.
It's her left.
And you're right.
So now she's screenshotted my...
And zoomed in on the neck.
And then has circled where she thinks the lump is.
Hang on, but that's your left. That's the side you said that I just touched.
Yeah, that is my left.
Yeah. So what's going on here?
No, okay. So I don't know what's going...
So she thinks it's just down a bit.
But she said that's your right side. Okay, so Instagram flips it, I think, when you do it.
Dude, you're going to fucking die of cancer because you don't understand how like the perspectives of left and right when you do a front-facing camera video.
Why couldn't it be on my like the middle of my forehead? And then you can't argue.
You should go to a doctor that only treats lumps in the middle. But hang on. So she's identified. You don't need to even worry anymore about
perspective. Do you see the lump?
Because there's literally she's done a photo and she's circled where she thinks it is and it's on your left and it's there.
Do you feel anything?
I think that's like what I'm seeing.
You come from a medical family, by the way. You are pretty close to a doctor.
My mum was a GP, which doesn't give me.
And your sister is like a fancy doctor.
Yeah, but these things...
Has she not told you anything?
These things are not transferable just because you're related to someone.
No, but you would
hear
stuff.
She went to 10 years of medical school. I didn't do anything. I would hear stuff. I haven't heard anything about this. My sister is coming to Melbourne today.
Shut up.
Almost.
Helen?
Yep. Helen's coming.
Oh,
and Helen
great.
Will have a look at
I'll
your
probably
neck.
See her.
yeah. She'll be out tonight. And she'd love Sam to have a look at your neck, I reckon.
Can we text her now? Say Sam's got he's worried about a lump.
I think that's a vein. I think
I do have veiny neck.
To be honest, I think that's the symptom. This is just me as a layman. I think that's the symptom of a fit guy.
Really?
Who has kind of, you know, veins that look like, you know, veins on your muscles. In that same way, you have like veins on your neck and it makes you look like a fit guy in the way that like less fit people don't have veins such as that.
Yeah.
As a result, I see that as the symptom of like a...
Being in shape.
A fit in shape guy.
This is great.
And I would go beyond that to say... That I think a woman who hits you up to say that she's noticed that and it's new, I think she's flirting with you.
No.
Either consciously as a way to kind of get a conversation started on Instagram or subconsciously. Because I think the other thing going on here, I think it's very relevant that there was a famous story, I think 10 years ago.
Well,
we don't remember what the story is, but there was a woman who was on TV who got diagnosed by a doctor
viewer.
Who was watching at home. And she went and got it checked out and there was cancerous and she got it removed and that kind of, I don't know if it saved her life, but it definitely like helped her.
It helped her life.
Not have that issue down the line. I think that then, if you'd read that story and you're watching someone on TV and you quite like them and you like their veiny neck and their vibe and you want to chat to them on Instagram, you'd be like, look, I've, you know, bit of an excuse has come to mind. If I saved someone's life, would that hurt anyone? Would that would help the relationship with this guy that I quite like?
She's got a profile picked her and some guy.
I know. I don't think she's
She just wants a connection.
I think she wants a connection and she maybe dreams about you. And she like this. I think some of what this
Some of what this is
would be subconscious as well. You could, if you saw even a little thing back in the day before that famous story that happened in Australia, you might think, I just saw a vein on a neck. I just saw a little lump for a second because of the lights and the angles or whatever.
The lights, dude. Exactly. Back to the lights. Yeah. Thank you.
You'd go, oh, I saw a lump. Anyway, I'm going to continue watching this show. But now if you see a little lump, you're like, oh, I could maybe be in the news by telling someone about the lump.
She wants to be in the news.
I think this is subconscious. But I think this,
it would be a hell of a story.
Exactly. And the fact that you know that sometimes that is a thing, which I assume she would have heard of, I think that encourages false reports, is what I'm saying. Because people want to be, they're going to be overly cautious because they know that is a thing. Whereas the story was a doctor who specialized in melanomas and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Saw it. I mean, she could be someone who specializes in neck lumps. We don't know.
I might need to ask her.
Without knowing that, could you ask her now? Do you have a background in knowing about lumps and
wait, also
stuff
I need to
nature?
Clarify with her about the camera angles here.
No, that's for you to decide. We need more information from her. What are you going to say?
Are you a lump? No. Do you have any?
Maybe. Can I ask if you have any expertise in medicine or necks or lumps? Because we need to imply that we're not going to dismiss her just because she doesn't have expertise, but we want to get a sense of kind of where she's coming from here.
Okay. I'll await the reply.
I've got a message as well.
Oh, okay. What was yours?
From Cameron James.
What's that? Are you bleeding out your armpit or something?
Do you mind if I have a slice of your bread?
Oh, you're living with Cameron. Mm. Oh, you should say no.
I replied 20 minutes later saying, no, go crazy. So I hope he had some.
How's it all going with Cameron in the house?
Yeah, pretty good. Some good debriefs.
Yeah, that's nice. So what, post-show, you come home, you chat about the
every
day.
Every night. And I make him do the whole show for me again. And then I
go and get the guitar, Cameron.
I have a whip. I'm like, no! We've been through this. Wrong!
Do you have to do your show for him?
No.
No, just he performs for you.
Mine's going great.
Yeah.
But we're still running through some issues, but
God damn
he's doing his best. That's fine.
That's nice to have a little buddy
mm-hmm.
just in there to chat it all through.
Speaking of shows, last week spoke specifically about how you were jealous of me and my experiences with The Fly and maybe some audience members chatting in the show. Because you didn't really have a story about an eventful thing in your show happening.
Yeah. And I listened back to the podcast and it stemmed from me being like, yeah, I've got nothing. I don't have a story.
You were talking about fights that have broken out in previous shows and talking about that as if you wished for something like that to occur.
Yeah. And then my wish, unfortunately, came true that night. The day we recorded it,
mm-hmm.
I went to perform my show. And then I also wasn't, it was probably the first one where I'm like, I don't have to think about this anymore. And I'll just do the show. And so I was caught completely off guard as well. And I get on stage. Also, I could hear, you know, when the audience is in and you're backstage.
Yes.
I could hear some people like yelling. Already,
like what
during
stuff?
They were saying, come on, Sam. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Which is fun. So I was getting, I think, and that lulled me further into this false sense of security about being relaxed.
This is going to be an easy one.
They've got my back. Him, like a man yelling, come on, Sam, five minutes before the show is scheduled to start is awesome.
That's
thinking
fun.
That I'll hear that and be like, okay, we'll kick it off.
Have I talked to you in Adelaide, kind of an unsettling version of that happened to me?
Yeah.
I was backstage. And by backstage, you know, often in these venues, it means like...
Oh, you're just behind
there's
something.
Just like a curtain and you're standing right a meter away from people. And sometimes you can hear them talking about you and stuff like that. Crowd's just chatting. And there's one guy, he's just going, here's Tommy. And
what, heard, over and over again?
Well, I heard that first. I'm like, oh, that's funny. It's like, here's Johnny, like on the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bit of a comedy reference.
Yeah.
This is someone who's
he gets it.
He also gets comedy and he gets that I'm here. Like, other people are just chatting. They think I'm off somewhere, but he knows that I'm standing right here. And then, maybe 5 seconds later, here's Tommy. And I'm like, oh, that's, yep, no, I heard it.
He's
like,
done it again.
He's done it again. And then maybe 5 seconds after that, here's Tommy. And I reckon he did it 50 times.
No.
Over that 5 minutes, every 5 seconds, over and over again. And by the end, it was no longer encouraging. It was like, this man will kill me.
Had it killed the vibe?
No one else really realized what he was doing. He wasn't like yelling it, and he was quite close to the thing.
So you could hear him.
I reckon he was
very unsettling for you. Yeah. Very unsettling.
Yeah.
And because immediately when you walk out, you're supposed to begin the performance.
Yeah.
But I know your eyes would have gone directly to be like, who was that?
Well, so did my mouth. I was like, hi, nice to be here. There has been a man who has been taunting me for the last 5 minutes. Where is he?
And did he own up to it?
Yeah. He loved it, of course. He was doing it for attention.
Did he perform his Tommy for the crowd?
No. I don't think I asked him to. I didn't want him. It's one of those things where it's like, I need eyes on him. I need to talk about this.
Yeah.
But also you don't want to... It's the kind of person that you don't want to embolden, I guess.
Totally. And that kind of leads into what happened to me.
So I guess if anyone did ever embolden someone like that, it would be the performer's fault for anything that subsequently happened.
Yes. So there's a man yelling, come on, Sam,
yep.
Who I think in hindsight is the guy I ended up having problems with, the main guy.
Mm.
So I walk out and... Everyone's cheering. It's pretty nice.
Cheering.
You know, cheering when you walk on stage.
Yes.
It's one of the nice parts of our comedy that they cheer and they clap when you walk onto
your favorite part is the walk on?
I love the walk on. I really do like the walk on. I like the walk on and the walk off.
You like the actives bit. All right, Mr. Necklump. He likes the walking on and the walking off.
The stuff in between that is also good.
Yeah,
but I think the best bit is the walk on and the walk off.
Exactly. The thing most approaching a workout.
Exactly. So I walk on there clapping. It's great. And then I immediately see like movement in the front row.
Ooh.
I'm like, hey guys, what's up? You know, blah, 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 start of the show. And there's people talking in the front row immediately. They all kind of are smiling. They're giggling away. And I'm like, whatever. It's the start of a show. It's fine.
Yep.
It's going to be okay. But then they start talking to me like during, it's a thing of like, it's not direct heckling. It's like when you start a bit or a story, and
yes.
You're like, so I went to the zoo the other day, or whatever your bit is, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I love going to the zoo, and you're like,
I love the lemurs.
Yeah, yeah, totally, and they're like,
lemur.
And they're like, I saw the tigers last time I was at the zoo, and you're like...
Kind of spoken.
Very spoken.
To someone they're with, or just to you?
To other people they're with, so to they're like, me as well.
Yeah, okay.
So they're talking directly to me, and they're all very drunk.
Front row?
Front row.
Front row.
And at this point, I'm like, they all know each other. Because the front row is probably like, there's a side bit, and then it gets wider at the back. But the front row is maybe 10 seats wide, maybe.
Yep.
And so it's like eight of them.
Eight of them.
There were two people from Werribee that weren't with them.
Okay.
But then the rest was all this family. And so they're starting to talk to me. And I'm like, so I'm like, at this point, have to address it.
100%.
Right? So I'm like, what's happening
here? My ears, Johnny Guy was like second row off to the side with one mate.
Exactly.
You're looking at eight people that are just
really
basically surrounded you.
Getting into it, right? And so they're like, oh, no, we're all together. We're a family. And then this is Dad. And then the dad speaks to me. He yells out. And he was the guy that was yelling.
Great.
Come on, Sam.
And where's he in the eight? In the middle?
He's in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Like an arm over each.
The dad's in the middle. And so there's kids with him. And they're like, they're all probably 18. Youngest would be 18.
Wow.
But they've got like partners and there's like siblings and there's like the mother. But the dad, I didn't bring the dad into the show. But once he like piped up, he started talking.
So he's doing the thing where he's like... I went to the zoo the other day.
He went to the zoo. They're laughing. And he's like, that's like you, Jeremy. He's yelling at me. And he's like, ha-ha-ha.
He's pointing at people in the group and being like, yeah, that's kind of crazy, really, and selfish that you say a joke. You're like, isn't it weird we go to the zoo?
Yeah.
I feel more locked up than the animals are or something like that. That's not one of your jokes, but that's just a joke about the zoo that I just came up with.
Could be a million miles away from something I would do.
The audience then is meant to, I suppose, laugh if they find that humorous.
That's the goal.
Yep. This guy, is turning to someone.
Yeah.
I suppose the conceit of a live comedy show is that you are saying something and then all the people in the audience are meant to receive it, I suppose as if it's a conversation, and if they find it humorous, then they laugh.
Yeah.
And then you kind of are emboldened by that laughter and then you continue talking. And then
you go on.
But people have different extents to which they resonate with what you're saying. So then you've said it to everyone.
Yes.
Everyone's meant to receive, everyone's heard that, so they've all received it individually. He has turned to someone who's already received you saying it and said... That's like you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that guy laughs, like his son or something.
Yeah.
It's like you already told him, like, that's like you. Yeah, that's why you said it.
Exactly.
He's getting in the middle and then taking credit for your observations.
Absolutely.
As if he's the kind of comedian for his family. You know what I mean? And then he's getting laughs, But just by saying like...
But he's all he's doing is just then recontextualizing it to a specific moment in their life.
Yeah.
If I knew that, I would have done that.
But how could I know that?
If I was like, yeah, that's like the time you're at bowling, Jeremy, then I'd be getting the laughs.
We'd all like to make it specific enough about every particular person in the crowd.
And I also don't mind that. Do you know what I mean?
If it's a bit of a, that's like you and then laughing and then back to listening.
Exactly, right.
Fine.
That's fun. That's supposed to bring people beautiful. Together.
That's family. That's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. And that, I think, kind of was the problem.
Yes.
Because he kept talking to me and like, I would describe it as heckling, but you couldn't be like, you couldn't be, it wasn't the what you think of when you think
you'd
of
almost
heckling.
Prefer like, fuck you, and then it's like, hey, get that. This guy out of would here. I'm an aggrieved performer and this person is evil. Everyone's like, get him out.
Exactly. But if
it's like, I love you, it's like annoying, but you can't be like, sir.
And he's blind drunk as well. They're blind all drunk. They're all drunk. They've been at dinner. And so he's going back and forth with me. And I'm like, and he does the most annoying thing is, you know, when they start talking and it's just like nothing. The whole thing's nothing, but they've interrupted and then they stop and then they say, come on, just go on, keep going.
So they lose steam.
So they
Oh, it must be nice. Being this middle comedian where you just get generalist comedic concepts and then you just, all you have to identify is a vaguely similar thing that's happened in your family, which is quite likely when there's fucking eight of you.
There's so many.
And you're a good comedian. So these things are applicable to people, like one in eight, it probably will resonate with
be
one
something
in eight.
That hits.
So then he just has to memorize something and go, that's like you. He gets a big laugh. Then sometimes when he interrupts, he loses track of what he's even saying because he's so drunk. And then when that's not working and he's not getting laughs, he just goes back to you. It's like, I'm not your backup guy, giving you setups to do punchlines to your own family. And then when you get bored, I just continue.
He's like, back to you, mate. He goes, because I'm trying to perform here as well, okay? It's a double hander.
We're killing.
So he's going back to me and it's like really disrupting the show.
And then when you say disrupting, obviously it's like something for you to handle, but the other people there, most of the crowd are not in this family.
Are they, I would say,
pissed off, or are they kind of the enjoying this spectacle? Or
80 people in there were not in the family.
Yes.
And they weren't enjoying it, but I felt like they were on edge as well.
Totally.
And I was trying my hardest.
It is funny that a family is 10% of the crowd.
I know. It should never happen, should it? Actually, should never happen. That's crazy. And I was trying my hardest to like keep it cheerful and stuff.
Yes.
But they keep like annoying me. Anyway, so then the dad drops a glass, right? Yeah. It doesn't break, but it makes so much noise. He spills a beer everywhere.
Jesus.
And then he stands up. And then this is where I'm like, this is probably when I gave up in the show. He turns to the crowd and he goes, who wants a drink? Because I'm going to the bar. He asked the entire crowd. And I thought the whole family throughout this whole thing would be like, shut up, dad.
Yeah,
totally. Dads are known for being embarrassing.
100%.
And the amount of times I've seen a man yell out at a comedy show and then whoever they're with.
Yeah, yeah. The daughters are just like,
shut up. What are you doing?
But they're laughing. He's killing to the family.
They love him. They love him so much. They're like, yeah, dad's the guy. And I, to the point where I was trying to tease the dad to one of the other people, and they're like, nah.
No. This guy's the king.
We love dad.
He bought us dinner. He's coming in here with huge big dick energy.
And he's making your jokes better. He's making us understand.
You're talking about the zoo generally. Like, he's talking about last February when
we
went
to the zoo.
A very specific thing happened, which you don't understand.
So
I hate to frame it like this, and I hate, you know, that this is how we perceive society, but this is some alpha male stuff. I think is going on here. He's the alpha male of his family. The zoo was a good example because I'm picturing a big gorilla and he's got his man spreading at the beginning.
You're picturing the gorilla.
I'm picturing a big gorilla and he's got his legs spread in the front row.
Yeah.
He's got his feet on the stage. He's got an arm round two sons, on each side.
He had his feet
clanging,
on the stage.
Like, it's big and clumsy because he doesn't give a shit because it's like his house. He's treating it like he's at home on his couch in his TV.
Yeah.
And he's talking to
his
family.
Got his whole family there.
Going to the fridge to grab a drink. He's like dropping stuff, gets up. Then everything up until that point had been family vibes. I'm the patriarch of this family and I'm treating like this like it's a family event. But offering people he doesn't know drink, like he's going to shout, 70 beers or whatever.
Yeah, I don't
he's
know.
Also
I think
saying,
he was just drunk and
he's implying he's rich as hell.
Well, so it had come out that he worked very early on. It came out he worked in finance. And he was...
No.
He had retired.
Stop it, Sam. This is the most surprising news that I've ever heard in my life. The guy who was being obnoxious and trying to out for you worked in finance.
And he was also... He said retired from finance. And you looked at him and it's not... He would have been late 50s.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So, like, I think he's crazy loaded.
Early retirement. That's not too bad.
Yeah,
big family. He's
big
shouting
family. He's doing...
And then these men, when they retire, kind of at a loss.
Don't know what to do.
What to do with their lives.
You become
a bit more
the funny
purposeless. Guy. Well, I suppose you feel a bit like, what am I contributing? What am I doing? And then you kind of maybe feel obliged to be shouting people and, yeah, and making jokes.
Well, he's probably just gathered the family together and that's...
Yeah.
But anyway...
It's actually becoming kind of a sympathetic figure in my mind. I feel for this guy. What's he meant to do?
Oh, I don't feel for him.
It's tough for the rest.
So he's asking... He asks... No one takes him up on it, the drink, which I did think was crazy. I thought one person would be like, yeah, sure.
I mean, yeah.
No one took up. So he disappears. It gets a little bit better for like three or four minutes.
The but family everyone knows is he's still, coming back.
Everyone knows he's coming back, yeah. Right? And then you hear him. There's like stairs. Like you hear him kind of like bouncing around the stairs.
He's a gorilla.
And he comes in with like heaps of drinks for the family. And I don't even know because there's a rule in my show. You can't leave to get drinks.
Yeah,
are you
even allowed to get, yeah.
You can't. I don't know how he did it. So he comes back with drinks and he's like, I'm back, Sam. And I'm like, awesome. And then this is when I knew I'd probably completely lost control of the room,
yes,
and the show and my position as maybe a figure of somewhat authority.
Mm.
He just walked onto the stage.
Yeah.
As confidently as you can.
Yeah.
And he just put a beer like on my stool.
He put something on the stool.
Yeah, on the stage.
Jesus. And yeah, all the fourth wall is obliterated at this stage.
It's like, gone.
It's not meant to be there completely for stand-up. It's meant to be a bit interactive. You're meant to be vibing the crowd.
Exactly.
But for someone to just walk up and plonk, it's like now we're just in a room. There's
exactly.
No kind of artifice of, as you say, authority or kind of like showmanship. Like this is a show. It's just...
Now we're in a, yeah, a weird room.
It's like now we're chatting
like
at the pub.
And it's like he's the guy that everyone will remember. From
and he's the pub. He's like the king of the pub.
He is the king of the pub.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, at that...
Are you not resisting? Like, not to put this on you?
No, because, I could have handled it better.
But you are letting this man walk all over you.
No, I did say...
Put the lump to good use.
I was like, I know you're a finance guy, but you got much expertise in the medical field. Have a look at this.
No, like the lump, which I think represents strength.
Oh, fitness. You think that lump? No, I think you're just...
You could bash this guy. You're a bigger guy than this guy.
Yeah, but I can't be bashing a
No,
a guy.
But you can use... I mean, as someone who can't bash people.
I told him
I see
to get
people
off the
that
stage.
Can bash people use, I suppose, implied violence. The implication that violence could occur if you don't comply with my demands.
Right.
Is often how people use their physical size.
You think I should have...
Staunched him a little bit, yeah.
Staunched him. I mean, I did say get the fuck off the stage.
You said get the fuck off the
stage. I said get the
fuck
off
the
stage.
Wow, okay, well, all right.
But that actually got a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, because you'd left it so late to be authoritative.
No, I had tried to. I had done all the tricks. So we're 20 minutes into the show at this point, probably 25.
And you're
minutes
trying
in.
To kind of. Get
and
him
I have
to shut
done all the stuff trying to be like funny to tease them,
yeah,
to get them to like be like, oh, we should stop talking to make the other
it's hard
crowd
if they have
members.
No shame.
They had no shame, and they were like, "Dad's awesome," and Dad's. Getting it's actually kind of beautiful when you think about
you're
it.
You're bringing your family together. Like, I can't imagine going to a show with my dad and like eight people in my family, people's partners and stuff.
Yeah.
Some new partners maybe that don't even know this family. This could have been the first
Their
time they've been kind of incorporated into the family.
Yeah.
And the dad is just killing. Like, you're laughing. Like,
he's
expressing love
show.
For you. He's kind of remembering
butt
bits
everything.
In your life of when you were at the zoo and stuff like that. You're feeling loved and seen by your father. Like, this could be core memory stuff for them.
It's got 100% core memory.
It's kind of
stuff.
Beautiful. I
they
guess.
Will never forget it. And they probably love comedy now because they're like, they would have this whole thing. It's like, remember we went to that show and dad kind of was.
This
actually,
is how you're reframing
dad
it.
Dad was kind of actually the funniest
at least
guy
it's good
at the
for the
show.
Family.
But
not
I
good for me. I felt cucked, but it's good for the family.
Anyway, so I didn't play it well from there.
Mm.
I just kind of autopiloted my way home to
totally.
The show. I kind of sooked a bit. Do you... I mean, that's
the opposite of the implied violence strategy I was describing before is acting like you're upset and waiting for the gorilla to notice you're upset and be like, oh, Sam, how can I change my behavior to make you less upset? Is that what you were hoping
that's
for?
What I said, this, you guys, this sucks.
Is there
that's
no front like, of house person or some other kind of person
nah,
of authority
the,
or security
no, because it's a
or...
weird venue. So there's a security guard down in the thing, but there's no like...
And to call it's for him like, is like even more...
There's a tech, but he doesn't really know what he's doing.
What's the vibe of the tech? How big is this tech?
You've probably had the tech because we share techs, don't we?
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I suppose we shouldn't name the tech.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So it's a younger guy. Who's
younger
not like
guy.
A big,
doesn't, it's not like he's a live events person. I guess I could have said...
It's not his job to remove someone either.
I guess I could have been... Yeah, but then you've got to kick the whole family out.
Exactly. And they're at the front. Like, it's the whole... Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
And then they're going to turn. And then you don't want to see a man like this kind of be angry. And then he's...
And I'm also worried...
He'll use his wealth to crush you.
But also,
it's
like...
His outfit is so hard.
He's also... Like, the crowd are not loving me. The rest of the crowd are not loving me. Even. I feel like they're liking them more. If they go, maybe the whole crowd goes with him.
You should have handed the mic to him. You sit down in the crowd.
He does
half an hour.
Or they all go, and then I like pack up my stuff. I walk down. He's just holding court, killing.
Yeah, in the same way that people
downstairs.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So that's my story.
But then, hang on. How does it? And you just plowed for the rest, and then at
plowed for the rest. I finished it. They were cheering. They were like, okay. "We loved it."
Yes.
But then I just walked off, and then I didn't go talk to them after.
Okay,
I couldn't bring myself to do it.
No.
But they had I think they had such
the
a good time.
Their lives.
Yeah. Like, I think they would be like 5-star show, absolutely.
And then the other 80 people though.
No, they wouldn't have liked it. Yeah. They would have hated it. But that family they would have had the best weekend.
Well, you got what you wanted.
I got a story, but it's not a fun story. Your flight story is so fun because it's like doesn't sound like it completely derailed the show.
Well, I've been my update on that is
no more fly.
There was a reviewer in during the fly show. Well, the first thing to say about the fly is the last week when we were talking about the fly, there was a fly on one night, and that kind of I was frustrated by the fly.
And then you're only human.
Then the next day, I embraced the fly and had a much better time with the fly. Then the next night, I went in hoping the fly would be there again, and then about 20 minutes in,
no fly.
About 20 minutes in, I'm talking. And I notice a little black speck flying past.
You're like, yeah!
And yeah, my heart leaps. I'm like, perfect. They're coming in to fly. I finish the bit, get a laugh, look over to see if I can't see the fly, but I saw a little flash of a fly.
Is it normally in the same place?
Oh, no, it's all around.
All around, yeah.
Yep. But, and to be fair, the one that I saw, it was quick and smaller, but it was just my peripheral vision in which I saw it. So I said to the crowd, did you guys see a fly? And everyone's like, no. No one had seen a fly. And so at that point, I'm like, oh, now I'm... Like, it's the natural progression, I guess.
Yeah.
His first night, didn't like it. Second one, embraced it. Third one, miss it.
Mm.
Kind of imagining it, hoping for it to the point of that's actually it's now like the problem with the show.
It's like the start of a rom-com.
And after that, I had to say goodbye, I guess, because it's like I can't be searching for flies and like hoping a fly comes. I can't be...
That's no way to live.
That's
no
way
to
be
comedy.
Performing.
No,
it's be crazy. Hoping for a fly because you've got like 2 minutes of things
of course.
About the fly to say... So that was a natural kind of, I guess, progression with the fly. But then, yeah, there was a review. I got not an overly negative review, but an average review, which I suppose had quite a few compliments in the review.
Okay, that's good.
The main criticism seemed to be that I talked to the couple that I talked about on last week's episode.
The night there was a reviewer in.
So that they felt that I got distracted, which I mean, I would argue that it was a fun,
great part of the show.
Exploration of people who were disturbing the show and then
it sounded
engaged
with amazing.
Them. I mean, amazing is probably a bit stretched. It was a drunk couple, one of whom was pinching the other one's nipples. But crazy that I've already, the fly night and the nipple night, there was a review of that particular performance.
I know, isn't that crazy? But do you want people to read this review?
I guess not.
Yeah.
I'm in, yeah.
Because you just made it sounded amazing, and then someone was there to write words to capture it all.
Oh, and they didn't like it. But they're wrong.
They do sound wrong. But did they reference the fly?
They did not reference the fly.
So they didn't say Cashman also?
No.
God.
Just a crazy coincidence.
I just got a text back from my doctor.
About the qualifications.
About the qualifications.
So Lump Lady is back to you.
Yes. No, she said, hey, no, not at all. I was just watching you last night and I watched the project every single night.
Wow.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Okay.
Every single night. Wow.
Well, that adds another thing in there.
Six nights a week. It's something that I noticed that I hadn't seen before. That's the only reason for me reaching out.
Yes.
Yes.
So I've got another theory here. So first of all, we now know that she doesn't have any expertise.
She's got
in
no
necks
medical
or lumps
qualifications.
Or medical.
Doesn't know a way around a lump.
Nope. Or not. I mean, not even kind of, you know, some alternative medicine expertise or anything like that. Or
for her not to even say anything, like not to even be like, "Oh, my auntie was a nurse something." It
my grandpa had a neck. None of that. No. It was all just because
I've actually got a neck, and
and I know about lumpiness just from squeezing different
necks
stuff
and,
over
yeah,
my life
and just like stuff.
I think that she obviously. She watches it every night. She's a
fan
of yours.
She's a fan, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah, big fan.
But then also, I think She's said this multiple times now. I've never noticed it before. I think this was an opportunity for her to express how often she watches this show. So because she's showing off, I guess, by pointing out what she perceives to be a small difference that she's noticed that only she could notice because she watches so regularly.
Yeah.
So it's a way for her to communicate to you. First of all, she finds the lump kind of masculine, subconsciously, I think.
Yeah.
And second of all, to show how regular a viewer she is.
Do you think she likes the lump?
I think subconsciously she loves
she
the lump.
She likes the lump.
She's obsessed with the lump.
Dude.
She's looking at your body. This is not making you feel strange. She's looking at your body with such specificity that she notices tiny little lump things.
And she, like she has a database about how it looked every other night she's watched.
In her brain or...
Like in her brain.
In her computer.
I don't think she has it in her computer.
Just like one row.
Taunton's neck.
Hair length. And then, neck, lump or no lump. And it's like color formatted.
I think she...
Red, green.
Maybe she doesn't want me to get rid of the lump.
I think, the lump was an enormous excuse to reach out.
To reach out. Well,
so then I suppose...
It's worked.
The question is...
It's a great strategy.
To pretend that you've diagnosed them with cancer.
No, but I reckon you're...
It's negging.
You're saying it's like, subconscious.
It's like on a date. If
maybe
someone was like,
there is a skerrick of truth that she did think there was a lump and then she's shooting her shot.
I think she is erring on the side of caution as it regards to the lump.
Yeah.
I think she had a genuine thought about the lump, but that's motivated by her thinking she's an expert at the show because she watches it so much. So if she just assumes, if something, a detail jumps out to her, then, that's evidence that I've never observed it before. When really, I think it's evidence of her becoming more and more curious about your body. Don't you think?
Interesting.
I think she loves... And then, which subconsciously... It's similar to... I remember working... I've probably told you this before, but when I used to work at an office in my 20s, worked with a friend of mine, and there was a woman who was also at the office who had, in my view, a bit of a crush on my friend.
Okay.
And she, in front of the whole office... told this story at a kind of like awkward kind of lunch thing where everyone kind of doesn't know what to say. It's just like an office environment. She was like, I had a dream last night. And everyone's like, oh yeah. And everyone's kind of listening to her. And she's like, yeah, I had a dream that I left my boyfriend and actually started dating Alex.
It's crazy.
And what a crazy dream.
It's
and yeah,
a dream.
Then we, we kind of eloped, I think we, and then we kind of like moved to Hawaii together. It was a crazy dream.
Like she went big.
And she didn't, I suppose, understand, it didn't seem.
Yeah.
Maybe this was her deliberately trying to convey this, but I got the sense that she didn't know that dreams were like reflective of your subconscious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think in this case, this is also someone who's like noticing crevices in your body and being like, oh, I noticed a new lump. Like this is a level of obsession with your neck and your body and your face and your shoulders and you as a man that I think she doesn't understand reflects a level of care and observation of you and your body.
So I am going to the doctor and I'm going to see
you. You booked in a doctor for the
month. I booked in the doctor.
So
next
and then
Tuesday.
So you go in and then they're going to be like, I'm on TV and a woman with absolutely no qualifications, but an obsession with me.
Yeah.
Told me that she saw a vein popping out of my neck.
She didn't say a vein. You're creating the vein.
In the photo she circled, there's clearly a vein going on. And that's the only kind of lumpy kind of stuff.
Yeah, but there's also veins there. Maybe there is.
No, there's a particular vein. I think you're going to get diagnosed as being sexy. The doctor says, we've done all the tests.
And
it's come back.
Oh.
You're a smoke show.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, I mean,
and what a way to go to... Normally
it's talking about pep in your step. Yeah, you come back in.
They write you a script for sexy pills. You got to dial it back.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but what if... So, I have the lump. What if I go to the doctor
and they go, yep.
Find it? Mm. Then it's like... But they're like, it's tiny.
Yeah.
It would be crazy for anyone to be able to notice this. They must have like the most intricate knowledge of your neck.
Yes.
Then I have to go back to her and be like, thank you, but also.
And she's a bit of a Harry Potter situation. It's like you know how like Harry Potter, his experience was but like up until the age of 12.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, I'm just a boy and I'm actually a bit of an outsider.
I'm under the stairs.
Exactly. But then, oh my God, no, you're a wizard, Harry.
That's the famous line.
You're a beautiful, special boy. And that's why kids like that book, because it's like, oh my God, imagine if I was told I'm a special person. And then imagine she's living a lovely life already.
Lovely life, yeah.
But maybe an average life, like an unremarkable life in a lot of ways. But oh my God, one day she finds out she has an intuition for neck lumps.
For neck lumps.
That we've never seen before.
She could get a whole career out of this.
And
if I've got the lump,
Doctor reaches out and like give her like a an honorary doctorate for her.
Maybe.
I mean, the other problem I have with this, so I'm not a doctor. No, I don't know much.
We've established this. But you know more than me.
Have you ever had a melanoma check?
Yes.
And what did they do?
Not enough, I thought. It was such a quick scan of the body. Totally,
100%.
They just go, yeah, take your shirt off, pants off. You're like, yeah, all right, cool.
I like it how they trust you for what's under your undies.
Yeah.
Because I went down to my undies and then a woman looked at me. I've done it a few times.
Have you ever had to get your genitals out in front of a doctor?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was 14, I might have told you this. I mean, this is a big, actually, part of my teenhood. I think a lot of people have an experience like this.
Yeah.
I suppose as you're, I think maybe you've had your first kiss, you're kind of like, oh my God, my sexuality is developing and I might be doing sexual things kind of soon.
Yeah.
And I suppose maybe the stress of that. And also you're learning about like STIs and stuff at school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My balls,
okay,
I noticed, had bumps on them all over.
Yes.
And I mean, this is all a bit much, but you know, this is all normal.
Yeah, no, it is all normal.
I had a few times, basically a pimple.
Like an ingrown hair or a pimple?
I think a pimple, just a pimple. I mean, maybe that's the form that an ingrown hair takes, but a little pimple.
Yep.
I thought that this was an STI.
Oh, at 14?
Yeah. And four,
Having sex?
No, never done anything sexual with anyone.
But you thought that's how strong this STI is.
Exactly.
It has crossed the no sex contact barrier.
I'm so diseased. I'm so disgusting that I'm the first weirdo to get an STI without having done it. I've got the bad end of both sticks here. I had thought that to myself, and I remember asking in PD, can you get an STI without having sex?
Yeah.
Looking back, it was just a PE teacher teaching this. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I think he was so busy trying to discourage people from having unprotected sex.
Yeah.
That he didn't give me a straight no.
Yeah.
He gave me not usually, but you know, you got to be careful, blah, 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 like a padding kind of don't have sex kind of answer, which made me think, oh, maybe there's some exception to that, because I was thinking about that. I remember my mum saying to me around that age, because for months, at least 6 months, I reckon, I was worried about...
This pimple?
Well, I thought I had some sort of
disease. How long did you have a pimple on your balls for?
Oh, no, the pimple wasn't there the whole time.
Oh, okay.
But the fact I'd had one was like, I still have the bumps. And the pimple...
No, the bumps are normal, though.
Well, I didn't know that. So then I remember my mum saying to me that she'd been, you know, reading about parenting or whatever, and she was like, I've been reading and the concern that people your age are often having is whether you're normal.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, Tom, you're normal.
That's so nice. I thought she was going to do a gag.
No. And then I remember thinking, she doesn't know about my balls. She doesn't know about my diseased, can't tell your mum about weird balls. Well, as a mature boy, after about at least 6 months, ages, like I remember being in the shower and the feeling of being like, oh, this everything would be so easy if I didn't have this problem with my balls.
Really?
Yeah, because...
You were stressing out a lot about this.
Because this was the time where, you kiss someone and you're like, you know, it could be coming, someone's going to look at these balls.
Classic puberty problems.
And it's so long ago now, but these were the concerns. And eventually I went to my parents and I said to my parents...
You sat them down.
I mean, they were sitting down. I remember where they were. It was a big, like, I'm like, finally, I've just got to do something about this. And I told them, I've got a rash on my balls.
Was it a relief to tell them at this point, do you think?
I think so. Because, they're going to help me solve it. They said, I remember them being kind of chuffed about me being honest with them, I guess.
Yeah, that would be so... You would be like, we've actually done pretty well here.
If he's telling us about the balls.
If he's telling us about his balls then, at 14.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like, we could be the best parents of all time.
Yeah, and he's probably not doing other secret weird stuff if he's telling us about
them. If he's telling us about the balls.
Totally. And so they booked me in with a GP.
Yeah.
I went to a GP, male GP.
Yeah.
He sat me down and asked me what was wrong. And I said, I've got a rash on my balls. And he said, all right, let's see. So, got my pants down. And I remember him looking and kind of inspecting for a bit. I'm like, hit me, doc. Like, what's the diagnosis? And he said, that's your hair follicles. Like, that's just not what balls look like. And I was like,
Did he actually say that's what balls look like?
No. But he said, those are hair follicles and that's all very normal. And I said, but I got a pimple on one. He's like, that's sweaty down there. Sometimes you'd have a pimple, like you'd have a pimple on your face. Like, that's normal too. And I'm like, right, great. So that's just been a year of anxiety for nothing.
But that must have been the best moment of your life.
Well, so this is the trouble.
So I am like relieved for you.
It was a relief. And don't get me wrong, it was a relief. But I think, actually, I'm kind of learning this now as I talk about this.
Yeah.
I think that is the nature of anxiety a little bit. Because I've had this with other things, I guess. If this wasn't wrong, everything would be fine. And I'd be so happy.
Yeah, that's a common thought.
Exactly.
I just need this one little solution.
And then everything would be fine.
And then I get to be content in life.
Exactly. And I don't think that was the feeling. I think I probably became anxious about something else pretty quickly.
Straight away after.
But it definitely was a relief.
You're like, and what about the size of the dick? What do you think?
I'm not diseased. Exactly. Yeah. Is that normal? Doc. Doc, you're leaving. Doc, come back.
He's like, let's leave it with the balls.
Okay, we've only booked in a short session. We can't do an hour session, unfortunately. And mental health isn't my strong suit, so I'm just going to leave it at the diagnosis about the balls, and we're going to leave it there. Have you had to get your genitals out in front of a doctor?
Yeah, I can't even remember how we started talking about this. Yeah, but I did it as a story of my comedy show a few years ago.
Mm.
But it was a similar thing. But I was much older. I was probably 22.
And you thought you had a...
No, I thought I had a rash. Like, I did have a rash.
Oh, right.
It was, but it wasn't an STD. I thought it probably was maybe something like that. But it was, I'd been in Queensland.
I'll say no more.
I know, you know, of course. And I just got the thing that they all have up there. Mm. But,
we're joking.
Yeah, great
it's
place.
Such a great, lovely great state.
No, I'd been wearing jeans or something. And I'd been working during the day filming something or something. And I remember having a shower that night and or coming home straight away and having a shower and being like, everything's red. Like it looked fucked up. Mm. So went to the doctor like...
And your brain immediately goes to SEO.
Yeah. Well, because it is so scary. And I feel like I don't know what the education is like now around sexual health, but it was like a scare campaign, I guess, because we were coming out, like our generation were coming out of the 80s.
I guess, yeah.
And so that was the only way. Like you see
then
those
you get a bit
ads,
older and you're like, the STIs are fine.
It's like, yeah. It's,
even HIV, like, I feel like it's like...
That was, pretty, and that's the main bad one.
Right? Yes. And that's pretty treatable as
totally,
I understand
now. Totally. And so I was like so scared, went the next day. And I remember feeling like in that waiting room being like, I'll never be able to have sex again.
Totally.
I remember having that thought. I'd be like, I guess that means I won't have kids. I won't have a partner. I was like, I'm just going to be an alone person.
I'm a rash boy. I am the rash boy.
And then...
Do I have a rash or does the rash have me?
The rash has me. I hope the rash spreads because that's all I'm worth now.
You come in like full hazmat to the doctor. You're not going to want to touch me. I'm disgusting. I'm absolutely disgusting, Doc.
So I pull my... He's like, pull your pants down, have a look. And I'd never done it before. So I was very uncomfortable. Like,
done what?
Shown my penis.
Shown penis to Doc?
To Doc.
Peter D.
Exactly. And he had a look. He touched it and then had gloves on and he touched it. He just goes, you got heat rash.
Mm.
And that was it.
Wow.
And then he stood up, took the glove off and was like, see you, mate. And I had that probably the same feeling that you had when
just
you
like, thank God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I suppose you're also like, well, but it now still I sucks. Feel like this I'm rash sucks.
The rash does suck.
And it's like...
Also, he was like, it will just go away.
So I suppose that's very comforting, but it's like you still have it in the same way that I was like, oh, these are what balls look like. Damn it.
Yeah, that's actually worse.
I thought these were going to go.
I thought these are deformed and disgusting.
Yes.
Are you telling me that everyone has this?
Yes.
It's like now you're having a crisis about humanity.
Yes.
And what it means to be alive.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this is permanent then. What the hell?
Oh, I've got something to show you before we go.
Yes.
So do you remember the podcast, The Mug Off?
I do remember the podcast, The Mug Off.
A great podcast. Some good friends of ours.
I remember it because it only stopped very recently.
Yes, so you would remember it. Yes. Now, a running joke that they used to have on that podcast was that I was really short. And that's what they would...
What?
So on that podcast, Jared one day started this whole thing being like, don't you think it's crazy that Sam Taunton tells everyone he's 6'1"?
Mm.
Because he's like 5'4". And then they all went...
That wasn't a joke, was it? That was some investigative journalism they were doing.
It fucking never ends. It never ends. And so then their fans would then like...
Did some research,
No, if they were at comedy gigs...
Gonzo journalism,
If they were at comedy gigs, they would some take factual a photo of me and then they would shrink... I mean, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, they'd take a photo of you,
Yeah, they would shrink me down.
No, they'd take
a photo of you. They would shrink me down so that the microphone stand would look like taller than me and then be like, crazy, this guy's telling everyone he's 6'1".
Yes.
Anyway, there's a guy that works at Channel 10 who used to listen to The Mug Off who like has somehow started like... infiltrating that rumor to the point where, like, I was on the desk during the show the other day.
And no wonder you're talking about angles and they can make anyone look like anything in the angles, but then blaming the lump on the angles because you're being filmed by real professional cameras and you look short and you're just
disputing even this. Well, they're making me look shorter than I am, okay? And I don't even have a height complex. I just think it's unfair. Because I'm 6'1", and then they're like, on the show the other day, someone was like...
6'1" or six, some other measurement, 6 hands.
6 hands plus one other hand.
Exactly.
On the show the other day, someone was like, because you're like 5'5", Sam. And I'm like, this is fucked. This has to end. And then I get this email from like one of the guys in audio, who I don't know that well. Like, I see him if I have to do voiceovers. Yep. And I say hi. We never really chat too much. And he just goes, he goes, "Hey, mate, I made you a song. I'm going to play it for you." 6 foot Sam. He doesn't seem that tall. But he isn't small. Yes, he's really. He's made this with AI. 6 foot Sam. You may not believe, but your eyes deceive. Pretty good. Legitimately 6 foot Sam. 6 foot
Sam. Hell yeah.
It's pretty good.
So can I say I love what's happened here?
Yeah. It's like an ongoing troll that I thought was over when the podcast ended. Well,
it's an ongoing factual investigation. They suspect, and like we're yet to nut out your and confirm your official height. They suspect that you're 5'4". They've done some research. They've seen you next to things that people know the height of, like microphone stands, and we can deduce from the angles and from the lighting.
Well, microphone stand, famously, they adjust, okay? Well, can't use a microphone stand as a reference point.
Well, you can because there are standard shapes and sizes, but you're right. We've never been able to nut down because of exactly what you're saying. They are adjustable, so you can't prove, I guess. But the suspicion was, I guess, that you were 5'4". Now this person is trying to make you feel better because you're being bullied at work, and they've sent you a nice song that even in that, now he's describing you as 6 foot, so you've lost an inch.
I've lost an inch
even amongst the people that are trying to make
me
feel better.
My camp have already turned on me slightly. Exactly. So there's whispers in my camp being like, "Look, he's not 5, but he's not 6'1".
They're getting you down. The history is changing as we speak. This is how people. That's like the Overton window of your height.
Yeah.
Is the extremists say 5'4"?
Like, if this song blows up and becomes the biggest hit, it's like I can't then release a thing being like, "Actually, it's 6'1". It's like I'm 6 foot now.
Can I say? I feel like there's a bit of a theme of this episode. First of all, people in looking at your body too much and manipulating your body and looking at lumps and looking at sizes and trying to make you bigger and smaller. But then the other one is. And I hate to say this again.
The family cucked me.
I think you need to stand up for yourself a bit. You're being bullied at work. There's people employed at work to make you look nice and they're making you look small.
And they're making me look like I have lumps as well.
You're lumpy and small. But then also there's men coming and sitting in the front row of your show and like becoming the patriarch of the show, shouting people drinks and stuff like this. There needs to be maybe a bit more authoritativeness to your vibe.
I think you've caught me at a weird time in my life.
A lumpy time.
A lumpy time.